real privilege to come here tonight, and I want to thank my colleagues, Heather Gray and Juanique at WRFG, for broadcasting and hosting this event, as well Verna Avery Brown, who is here from Washington. She is hosting the national broadcast of this informal hearing around the country for Pacifica radio stations and other community radio stations around the country. Chris Sampson is here from Pacifica Station KPFT in Houston engineering the event. Otis McClay is in Houston right now, and he is linking this program nationally. My colleagues at Democracy Now, Mike DeFilippo and Mike Burke, are in New York at the Democracy Now! Firehouse, and they are live streaming this at democracynow.org. A real public media collaboration. And tomorrow on Democracy Now!, we will be broadcasting parts of this on the 140 community radio station, Pacifica radio station, NPR radio station, and public access TV stations that we broadcast on around the country in the largest public media collaboration in the United States. And that's how media should be in this country, is I come from Pacifica Radio, which was founded more than 50 years ago by war resistors. Luke Hill came out of a detention camp after World War II and said, there has to be a media outlet that is not run by the corporations that profit from war, beating the drums for war. And so Pacifica was born, the first station, KPFA in Berkeley, not run by corporations, as the University of Pennsylvania professor George Gerbner says, corporations that have nothing to tell and everything to sell that are raising our children today, but instead a network run by journalists and artists. And that's what all media should be in this country. I come here today to express my concern and to echo those that are now all too common in the non-commercial media world, with the increasing commercialization and privatization that is overtaking media in this country and around the world. It is a profit-driven agenda that is the mission of those in power that threatens the ever-shrinking public media spaces that we share. Public media spaces that serve as a vital component of our civic discourse and our democracy. We, together in the public media world, see our role as providing a forum for national discourse and international debate around the most important issues of our day, especially now, in this time of war, invasion, occupation, it is absolutely critical that all the media open up the dialogue and discussion to the great diversity of voices in this country. Before the invasion, the majority of people in this country were opposed to war, but you didn't hear them in the mainstream media. In fact, FAIR did a study, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, that in the week leading up to General Colin Powell, Secretary of State, making his case for war at the United Nations, and the week afterwards, of the four major nightly newscasts, ABC, NBC, CBS, and even PBS's NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, in the 393 interviews that were done around war, three of them were with people who were opposed to war. Now, I don't care what your view of the invasion is, whether you are for it or against it, but that does not represent the diversity of opinion in this country. Less than 1% of people opposed. We are talking not about an exclusion of the fringe minority or even the silent majority, but the silenced majority, silenced by the mainstream media that will become even more homogenous and exclusive if the June 2nd vote takes place and it breaks down the way it looks like, at least until this point, it breaks down. And I also want to thank the two dissident commissioners here tonight, Mr. Adelstein and Cox. Who have gone around the country to hear how you feel. That is what democracy sounds like. That is what the FCC should be doing right now. As a journalist, it is the first red flag when we learn that something is being done secretly, that there isn't transparency, that on an issue of this kind of grave import, that there has only been one little publicized formal public hearing, the one held in Richmond, Virginia. And so we thank the commissioners who have gone around the country holding informal hearings. It is absolutely critical that the public weigh in. The airwaves are not just public for the public media, like Pacifica or NPR or PBS. The airwaves are owned by the public, and even the private corporations, like Viacom, which owns CBS, and General Electric, which owns NBC, and Disney owning ABC, they are leasing the public airwaves, and they have a responsibility, as we do, to use them responsibly and to serve a democracy. My colleague Juan Gonzalez, who is co-host of Democracy Now!, is also president of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and he testified at the FCC Forum in New York held at Columbia Law School that Commissioner Copps held and in cooperation with trade unions and media activist groups in January. Juan there released the NEHJ's seventh annual Network Brownout Report, which found that in 2001, less than 1% of all news stories on the network evening newscasts of ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN were about anything related to Latino issues. Juan said in the stories that he reviewed, Latinos were too often stereotypically portrayed as illegal immigrants, as prone to violence, and as living in slums. This year, a study by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting found that 92% of all U.S. news sources who were interviewed on the nightly newscasts of ABC, NBC, CBS in 2001 were white. It also found that of those, more than 14,600 reports, 0.6% were Latino. The media has to open up, not consolidate. Hear, hear. It is the diversity of voices that makes this country great. The National Association of Black Journalists, NABJ, has written to Chairman Michael Powell, saying that changes that he has proposed will have a resounding negative impact on the quality of news content and the diversity of voices and viewpoints, and most importantly, market competition. The Society of Professional Journalists has demanded additional hearings and has asked the American news media to devote more attention to the issue. While we think of ABC, NBC, CBS as competing with each other, in fact, when it comes to media consolidation, they're all in it together. They filed a joint brief in support of fewer voices and fewer owners, because that is the effect of what they were supporting, and that is the relaxation of the media rules that is being proposed to be voted on June 2nd. Ben Bagdikian, the author of Media Monopoly, testified at one of the informal FCC hearings in California, and he talked about his experience going into a major radio network studio in San Francisco. He was told not to mention the day of the week or the weather in his interview. He was told also not to say where he was to describe the studio he was in. The host explained that the program is used in the network cities around the country, saying, "We like people in those cities to think they're listening to a local program." Well, in fact, those local programs are becoming increasingly endangered by the increasing consolidation of ownership of the media in the hands of fewer and fewer media conglomerates. Or you've got that story from Minot, North Dakota, of the train that derailed in the early hours of a January morning, 2002. That toxic cloud of anhydrous ammonia that emanated from the accident. When law enforcement officials tried to warn the local community by calling radio station KCGB, they couldn't get through to anyone. It turns out that media giant Clear Channel owns all six of Minot's radio stations, and that all six were served by one news employee who was unreachable at the time of the accident. More than 300 people ended up being hospitalized. It is absolutely critical that we have local community media and that it not be wiped out by conglomerates like Clear Channel. If the administration in Washington is truly concerned about national security, well, local community control over media so that they can reach the people directly to talk about what's happening in their community is the best way to ensure security. Communication is vital. In just a few years since the media deregulation of 1996, Clear Channel has gobbled up more than 1,200 radio stations. Many do not have a single live person on the premises as a signal is piped through state after state with no local mediation or participation, giving new meaning to the term clear channeling. You know, my home station, WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM in the New York area, is in the middle of the commercial dial. And it became a Pacifica station after 1959 when there was a strike against the print media. All the advertisers raced to radio. And the owner of the commercial WBAI, Louis Schweitzer, a philanthropist, realized how advertisement-driven the media was and gave the station to Pacifica. Well, let's be clear, he actually called Pacifica Foundation in Berkeley, the Pacifica radio station KPFA, and said he would donate the radio station to this nonprofit foundation. Thank God someone was in the station to take the call. This issue of media consolidation breaks down liberal and conservative lines, Democrat and Republican. I mean, you now have the NRA joining in with progressive groups against the further media consolidation. And yes, it was under the Democrats in 1996 when Vice President Al Gore pushed through the 1996 Telecommunications Act, legislation authorized what may be the largest giveaway of public resources in history, between $70 and $90 billion worth of broadcast spectrum handed over to private media conglomerates. Media consolidation subverts democracy in so many ways. The media now define who are serious political candidates. More than a decade ago, Ross Perot ran for president. He didn't have a party at first. Most people didn't even know his name. But when he promised to pour vast sums of his personal fortune into political advertising, he got major media coverage, and the media got theirs, payment for advertisements. And then, of course, he got lots of free airtime. But without the money, third-party candidates are largely ignored around the country. Political advertising is a major revenue source for major media, and it's why they lobby to prevent campaign finance reform in this country. Media consolidation also hurts kids. A study by Children Now of Oakland, California, shows that media consolidation leads to fewer children's programs in favor of more lucrative programs for adults. According to the Children Now study, the top seven broadcast stations in Los Angeles have half as much children's programming as they did 5 years ago. In one case, a station dumped 89% of its kids' programming in the last 5 years. It's a station owned by Viacom that also owns another station in Los Angeles. It's significant because the FCC is considering allowing more dual ownerships around the country. As Patty Miller, head of Children Now, said in the Los Angeles Times just today, the study gives us a frightening peek into the world of children's television in an age of media consolidation. Another important example of how the media giants are hurting our democracy is in the case of low-power FM broadcasting, LPFM. In the late 90s, there was a broad-based grassroots movement to restore Class D FM licensing. This would have created a blossoming of small independent radio stations in communities from coast to coast. Sadly, Congress prevented any significant growth of low-power FM, a Congress that was lobbied by the National Association of Broadcasters and, sadly, also National Public Radio. No, we have to turn the tide. We need local community control. I was excited to come here to fly in tonight for this hearing. To come to Atlanta, I thought, in addition to seeing my dear colleagues at Pacifica Radio and WRFG, I would be seeing colleagues from CNN here, the home of this international media conglomerate. The unfortunate thing is I have to fly back tonight, and I guess in order to see them, are they here? Hopefully, yes. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Oh, and CNN Engineering is represented with... I don't know if that's a broadcast quality camera you have in your hand, but it's great to see a warm body in the pew. The choir is larger than we thought. Well, within a few years, Clear Channel has gone from scores of stations to more than 1,200, controlling the audience share in 100 of 112 markets. I don't even like to use that terminology of markets. We're talking about people who live in this country. We're talking about people who make up a country that should be the greatest democracy on earth. But Clear Channel is not just one of the largest radio broadcasters. It's also the world's leading concert promoter, owning and controlling many of the cultural venues in the United States. For example, like the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, where the night the bombs fell, Ani DiFranco was having a concert at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center and invited me, along with my colleague Jeremy Scahill, who just had returned from Baghdad, to speak to the thousands of people who had come out to hear her and talk about the importance of independent media in a time of war. The concert got going late. She almost thought she could not go on because she was told while she could sing, there would be no political tabling allowed and no political speech would be allowed from the concert hall. The New Jersey Performing Arts Center, like so many other cultural venues, run by Clear Channel. Now, that is very frightening, Clear Channel not only owning more than 1,200 stations, but sponsoring pro-war rallies, including marches around the country on Memorial Day, and not only not allowing certain music on their airwaves, but also determining who will get to sing in their venues, the major ones in this country, and what will be said in those cultural meccas. We have to challenge the powers that be, and that is the role of the media. There are signs of hope. On May 29th, the coalition of groups, including Media Alliance, Global Exchange, Code Pink, Citizen Works, and many others, are going to be protesting outside of Clear Channel stations around the country. I'm sure they won't have trouble finding them. Maybe just the people inside they'll have a little trouble finding. But it's a few days before the June 2nd vote, as they say that it is absolutely important to bring to the people this issue that will be voted on. I'm deeply concerned about media homogenization, because I think media homogenization serves the state when the media's role is to hold the state accountable. I have hope because you're out here, and every one of the hearings that the FCC commissioners have held around the country have also been filled with people who understand how important media diversity is. Maybe soon, because of you and people like you around the country, and because of public media like WRFG here in Atlanta, Pacifica Radio around the country, Radio for Peace International, Shortwave, independent media centers around the country, I know they're represented here as well, that public media collaboration will challenge the mainstream media and demand that they too become what should be the role of all the media, and that is to be the exception to the rulers, to go to where the silence is and say something. Thanks a lot.